You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06, and it's Monday morning, August 18th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all of our different platforms. We appreciate you starting your day right here. Parker Olson is producing this fine program from down in Madison Studio A2, and I have a question for you and for Parker and for everybody else. Can Wisconsin survive this Brewers slump of one game?
I mean, it's the biggest slump they've had in a long time.
It's the biggest slump they've had in a very long time, and I'm not sure I can recover from it, but we'll find a way to do it. Yeah, they lost yesterday, but to tie the streak at 13 on Friday and set a new team record of 14 games in a row on Saturday was so fun to watch. Those were great games, and that's what I'm taking out of this weekend. I don't know. How was your weekend?
It was very good. I actually watched only the loss because I was busy on Saturday. I was over in Milwaukee checking out Irish Fest, checking out some music. Yeah,
nice. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to check that out in just a little bit here. And also, we're going to leave you with this question here. What should Donald Trump's next job title be? We talked a bit on Friday about what Sean Duffy thought Donald Trump would really like to do if he weren't president. So we asked it in our Sunday morning newsletter, and y'all have some thoughts on that that we're going to talk about in just a little bit. Let's see. Also, we've got guests talking about how Wisconsin is unlike many states where they allow ordinary citizens to collect signatures and put ideas on a statewide ballot for new laws or constitutional amendments. We'll talk to two guests who recently penned an opinion column outlining why we should have that kind of a setup in our state as well. We'll talk about the Republican war on clean energy, and I guess in a way Wisconsin kind of dodged a bullet with the Republicans, you know, backtracking and slashing budgets. Now, for example, there's Oshkosh Defense, which had won a big government contract not that long ago to build the next generation of U.S. Postal Service vehicles, but they're not being built in Oshkosh. The company decided to go to another state, and Ron Johnson, who's actually from the Oshkosh area, refused to fight for jobs in his own hometown. So in some ways, you can't lose what Ron Johnson and a local corporation were never willing to give you in the first place. But we'll have an update on that story. We'll tell you about how Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has figured out the best way to approach today's meeting at the White House. Bring friends, lots of them, as several European leaders are coming to Washington, D.C. as part of a follow-up to President Donald Trump's Alaskan bromance with Russia's dictator. And let's see, we will also have Civic Media's Jimmy Koska, John and Gordy, a check-in with Chain Matinere, whose show follows this one. We'll talk to Up North News reporter Selena Heller about her time at Wisconsin Dells, and we'll hear from some of the folks that she interviewed while she was there over the weekend. And we'll talk about weather and more along the way. And, of course, you can join the program by using the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube where you can watch the show. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But most important of all is to use that Civic Media app. That's where you can also listen while you're away from your radio and listen to things on any of the Civic Media stations. And then at any of the stations, you can text us from there as well, and we'll see that and maybe put the text up on screen and maybe respond to it here. Let's see. And boy, the comments are, the mailbag's already filling up here from Alicia on YouTube, who I guess was also in Milwaukee. Says, hey, I was in Milwaukee on Saturday, except I was traipsing the city with a bunch of veterans on a mental health hike, almost 13 miles. My hips and my calves hate me today. Yes, I totally understand. Roger in Stevens Point says on Facebook, the winning streak was excited while it lasted. The Brewers would need to win 3 of 5 from the Cubs to get the head-to-head tiebreaker should both teams finish tied for the division. That would be a great thing to have in your pocket. But the magic number is 32. And Parker, that is... that's a nice thing to see, a magic number that continues shrinking. And yeah, if there's another reason why you should not really despair about the Brewers losing the series finale in Cincinnati yesterday, it's that the team really was saving itself for this week. They left Cincinnati, headed to Chicago for what was supposed to be a 4-game series, you know, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. But it's now 5 games in 4 days with a doubleheader today, making up for a rainout. So, you know, yesterday losing 3-2, but in extra innings, stings a little less when you realize there's a big series that gets started this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a huge series. And it is, frankly, to me, one of the things that I was happiest about was the fact that we lost to the Reds and not to the Cubs to lose that winning streak. Right. Because I feel like Cubs fans, with where they're at, they would have been hounding us over snapping the longest winning streak in franchise history. So I'm okay with having lost that to the Reds.
Oh my gosh, yes. That is a very good point. They would have just been, ugh. I don't even want to think about it. God. All right, well, good. Well, there is a doubleheader today to tell folks about. And so let's see, I'm just making sure of the times here. I've got 12:45 and 6:30. It's a day-night doubleheader. So there's the day game today is the makeup game, and then the regularly scheduled game is tonight. So again, 12:45, the pregame begins this afternoon on several Civic Media stations. And then again at 6:30 this evening, stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. But let's talk about that Friday night game for a minute here to tie the previous record of 13 wins in a row. Because Sherry and I went to go see a show on Friday night, an outdoor show. Local bar here put up a nice big tent and was having a dueling pianos situation. You said you have not seen a dueling piano show?
No, I have not. I've seen dueling bagpipes, though.
Sorry. And we press the brakes ever so gently. Nope, we bring the show to a screeching halt. I'm sorry. Tell me more about these dueling bagpipes.
Dueling bagpipes. I was at Irish Fest. There's bagpipes.
Oh, this was at Irish Fest,
yeah.
Of course. Okay. What did they duel with? Was it the dueling banjos song? No. What song did they duel with? Do we know?
Oh, I don't
remember. Was it some Gaelic folk tune, or was it something like, you know, Stairway to Heaven?
It's like a Celtic rock kind of thing. Yeah.
Celtic rock.
Yeah. Okay. It's fun. Scurrivore. It's a great band. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go, folks. Dueling bagpipes. Now back to our original story already in progress. So it was a dueling piano setup on a flatbed truck, you know, a large flatbed that was set up as the stage. But you have to remember Friday evening, there were a lot of thunderstorms coming through, and it was not clear whether this show was going to take place or not. We kept watching, and it kind of looked like the storms might just miss us, but I mean, you could see the lightning off in the distance. And we thought, well, let's go anyway, so we did, and it was great. You know, you park in a field across the way, and then you come over to the big tent, and it's a bring-your-own-lawn-chair situation. And so as we're walking in with our lawn chairs, Sherry had only one request, and it wasn't like sit in the front row or the back row. It was don't sit by the big metal pole in the middle of the tent. You know, folks, if there's anything Travis Kelce has learned, as has Pat Kreitlow, marry somebody smarter than you. I thought that was a pretty good idea. That's, so we did not sit by the tent. Thankfully, the thunderstorms did just skirt down to the south, and we were not in harm's way. In fact, at one point, as the sun was setting and came out from underneath the clouds, it created just this huge, gorgeous rainbow. Which was nice because the piano players heard about it and they just stopped what they were doing and they broke into Somewhere Over the Rainbow from Wizard of Oz. It was a very cool moment.
Of course.
Everybody's out there taking pictures and everything. And I know what you're thinking. Pat, you said you started the story about the Friday Night Brewers game. Yes, we were there. And as we're getting ready, getting settled in, you know, for the show, and I'm looking at my phone all the time and seeing that when we first got there, Christian Yelich had just hit a home run to tie the game. It was 1-1. And then it wasn't 1-1 anymore.
No.
It was like 4-1, 6-1. Pretty soon the Reds are up 8-1 in the second inning. And I was like, well, I guess I can sit back and enjoy the show. That's fine. Which is okay. I mean, the show was great. But I did occasionally look at the phone and 8-1 became, 8-2 and then 8-5 and 8-7. And they came back and won that game. The game they'd been down 8-1. They come all the way back and win it. And then Saturday, they again have to come back in extra innings to win that game as well. And the people that I don't envy them. I'm just so happy for them. There were so many Brewers fans in Cincinnati.
Yeah, there were. It was loud.
See that series. Oh, they were loud. And the Reds fans would start booing whenever the Let's Go Brewers cheer would get going. But, oh, they were. And then, of course, yesterday, The Brewers actually pulled ahead in the top of the ninth with a home run.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be 15 in a row. Unfortunately, we gave up a run in the bottom of the ninth and then went on to lose in extra innings 3-2 yesterday. So snapping the streak at 14 games. But those fans that went to Cincinnati, wow. Any that were there for the whole time, the Friday and Saturday night games, and even the excitement in the ninth inning on Sunday, you got your money's worth, boys and girls.
That was a show. Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun. I'm a little upset with going into the Cubs series that we had to play two extra inning games, but I think it'll be all right. It was so much fun.
Oh, and that was part of the reason, too. I mean, we kept pitcher, Grant Anderson in there forever when he was just absolutely gassed. But there was it was one of those where you let it go. You got to save the bullpen. This streak started when the Brewers at the time were 20 games over 500. That's when the streak started. And so 14 wins later, you're now 34 games above 500. And you're like, okay, we'll be okay with this loss. Still up on the Cubs by, I believe, 8 games in the Central.
I believe it's back down to 8. Yes, it got up to 9.
Oh, no, it's only an 8-game lead over the Cubs. So, I mean, again, theoretically, you could get swept in this series and still be in first place.
Yeah.
That's not something that's necessarily on the radar. But it was a good weekend for baseball fans.
Yeah.
If you're a Packer fan, I guess you're encouraged. The Packers won their preseason game in Indianapolis. I guess.
That's what I heard.
Again, I'm not the station to tune to for Packer pregame breakdowns. Like, no, the regular season will be here before you know it, and it'll be fun. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be great, but it is, it's preseason.
Yeah.
And then in golf, I don't follow golf at all. So if I tell you that Scottie Scheffler won the event, the only reason I know that is they showed this 80-foot putt that he drained. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I can enjoy that moment, but that's really about it. All right, we'll talk on the other side about what you all think Donald Trump's next job title should be. And later we'll talk about diplomacy or puppetry with Trump and Putin in Alaska. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
6:22 on this Monday morning. Nice to have you back here from Lake Wissota on these mornings powered by Up North News. And it's at upnorthnewswi.com that you can sign up for our newsletters, including our Sunday morning one that I put together, summing up the week in Wisconsin politics, but also there's a question of the week. And you'll recall that there was a story that we shared on Friday about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy telling the New York Post that he believes that if Donald Trump weren't president, he would really want to be transportation secretary, and that maybe that's what he wants to do next because he loves roads and bridges and he flies. So he's qualified to be transportation secretary. I mean, not that much different than Sean Duffy, but be that as it may, it led to this question. What should Donald Trump's next job title be? And I made a little extra work for myself here because usually it's a multiple choice thing. So I just collect and tally up the A's and the B's and the C's and the D's. And this one was much more open-ended. And some of the things that have come in so far include sanitation engineer, non-citizen, retired, tomato picker in Arizona was one of my favorites. There's a lot that are a twist on migrant farm laborers to really get a feel for what folks are doing who truly work for a living and value what we have here in America. But there are a couple of fans of Donald Trump as well who hope that after he's done being president, that his next job is vice president. And then far and away, the answer that got the most entries was some variation of this one. License plate producer. There are plenty of people that think that Donald Trump would look well if his next job title involved an orange jumpsuit. But again, you can answer by being a subscriber to our Sunday morning newsletter and also by being in touch with us during the show throughout the course of the day. I never do get the right way to shout on the radio, so Parker, I'm just trying this one out here.
Oh boy.
One of the responses didn't quite go along with the what should Trump's next job be. So let me see if I can get the all caps right in this response by somebody named Gerald.
Oh boy, I know where this is going.
Concealed carry is our constitutional right.
Yep.
Bill Berrien shooting gallery. It's all about Democrats. Drop boxes are illegal and voting must always be done in person. Voter ID or illegals voting and redistricting. Democrats have been destroying fairness and the Constitution. Was that pretty much, I get the all caps intonation just right there?
I think that was well done. Well done, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, Gerald, thanks for your response. Near as I could make from it, it was shoot them if you got them. Drop boxes are illegal. There must always be voter ID or you're an illegal voter. And fair and balanced redistricting, which is anything like fair and balanced news. Well, we're in for some trouble. But anyway, there's some of the responses that we got to our Sunday morning newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Head there to learn more about how to subscribe. It's quite easy. Click the word subscribe up there in the top banner. All right, there is going to be a meeting at the White House today, a follow-up to the Trump-Putin meeting, if meeting is the right way to put it, in Alaska on Friday. But Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, he is bringing back up. And I thought this was very interesting because you'll recall the last time that Zelensky was in the Oval Office. I mean, he got jumped, not just by President Trump, but Vice President J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. You know, they were there just nipping like a bunch of little dogs at Zelensky and saying, oh, how come you're not grateful for us, et cetera, et cetera. So this time around, an array of European prime ministers and presidents and officials from NATO and the European Union are all flying in on Monday to make the case that there should be a viable and defensible Ukraine that comes from the end of whatever it is that Donald Trump is hoping to secure in his desire to make a peace deal. But let's be clear, again, on the campaign trail, Donald Trump said he was going to end the war on day one. And that is not hyperbole. That is something he said repeatedly. He said he will fix the war on day one. He thought that he was such a big deal to Vladimir Putin that on his first day in office, Putin would want to thank him for being president again by what? Completely pulling out of Ukraine and Crimea? That was never going to happen. So then the alternative is that Trump was going to solve the war on his first day by Zelensky seeing that, well, Trump's in the White House, we may as well surrender all the territory that Russia has taken because, I mean, there's no hope for us. Well, that didn't happen either. So Donald Trump, through sheer force of will, thought that either Zelensky and or Putin would respond to that somehow and say, yes, sir, we will make peace on day one of your administration. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to be a peacemaker, if you're going to be a deal maker, Mr. Art of the Deal, let's see some deal making. What is it that you're doing to make sure that the war ends and lives stop being lost while maintaining the sovereignty of a country and putting the country that started this back in its place rather than threaten the security of more European countries? So Zelensky is wise to bring along other European allies to bring this all back to the root cause. This is Russia's dictator who invaded a sovereign state in Europe and threatens the sovereignty of other countries as well, unless you stand up to the dictator, not roll out the red carpet and show Putin lots of love in Alaska and end up with absolutely nothing to show for it. More after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Not going to lie, I'm a little bit nervous for our friends in southeastern Wisconsin that have had to deal with, of course, all the punishment from those terrible flash floods recently, because there's heavy rain potential in the forecast for later today. There are some showers across south central Wisconsin right now and some moving into southwestern Wisconsin. But the real activity is in south central Minnesota and central Iowa, and a little bit into northeastern Iowa, and it is going to be pushing into southern Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says there's definitely a scenario here for heavy rain at rates of 2 inches per hour in some localized areas, which could bring another flash flood risk to the southeastern part of Wisconsin. So by all means, keep your radio right here on your favorite Civic Media station for your local forecast and listen throughout the day for updates. And even if you can't be near the radio, at least be monitoring, you know, social media and other feeds just to be weather aware. What it is right now is not what it's going to be later if all of this rain holds together that's going to be moving into Wisconsin in just a little bit. You'll recall that Dr. Kristen Lyerly was off last week, and we said we would have her back, Parker, today on this Monday morning. I don't know if you know this, but travel sometimes does not go smoothly.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I hear about travel, actually, is it's not always smooth.
Yeah. And I believe that's the experience with Dr. Lyerly as well. So we may not be seeing her pop up today as she heads back from Peru. Although if you were around on Friday, we played a clip that she recorded down in Peru about, you know, democracy. It's a struggling democracy down there as well with some of the challenges that we're now facing here. Something I never thought I'd hear myself say, comparing herself to other struggling democracies in places like Peru. But hopefully she'll be able to appear. If not today, then she'll be in, as usual, on Friday mornings as well. For everything that was in the Harry Potter books, were you a Harry Potter book reader?
Yes, I was. It's been a long time since I've read them.
For all the things about the Harry Potter books that you wouldn't expect me to pull out, there's one thing that when I think about travel, and I don't remember what they're called anymore, but in the Harry Potter books, when you want to either send things or yourself, you call this like service, and hopefully somebody will remember and put it in the comment section, and they basically come and pack up your things or pack you up and get you to wherever you're going to be. And I've thought about that a lot. Well, it'd be great if you were traveling. You just called a place and they just packed you up and set you up. And next thing you know, you wake up and you're right there on the beach. And you're not transferring somewhere at JFK or LaGuardia and dealing with flight delays. And, you know, even worse, you've got to switch airlines or you've got to switch terminals. Switching terminals is the worst. Like if you're flying internationally and you fly in someplace to like Terminal A, and they're like, okay, but now the next flight you're going to catch is in Terminal C, and it's in 10 minutes. Good luck. Bye.
Run, kid.
Yeah. Yes. And we've, you know, I've had to do that a few times. I've had to run through airports. Not fun. Do not recommend, you know.
Yeah.
So I completely understand, you know, that Kristen might have a few delays here, and we just want her to travel safe. And I do know she had a great time, not just at the conference, but also climbing Machu Picchu.
And oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Sent some great photos from there. So definitely something that I'm looking forward to hearing more about. So mentioning Harry Potter, as we continue with Flight of Ideas here, gets me into Wednesday, the new Netflix series, or season two of the Netflix series. And we got into episode two yesterday. What are you laughing about?
I was trying to figure out, like, oh, what's coming out on Wednesday?
What's coming out on Wednesday? It's Wednesday. Yeah, but when's it coming out? Wednesday. What is? Wednesday.
Who's on first?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Watch the second episode of that. And, I mean, we're going to keep watching it, but it is, you know, if the first season was a little bit on the campy side, the second season gets, you know, a little bit darker, a little bit more shock value to, you know, some of the imagery and things like that. But I watch virtually no mysteries. I'm a comedy guy. I like comedies.
Yeah.
And so when I do get to a mystery or a drama, it's because I finally like the, you know, the whodunit, the trying to figure out, you know, who's the bad guy in all of this. And so we'll continue doing it, in part because, again, as I mentioned last week, Jenna Ortega is great as the main character. You've got, John Malkovich is in there. And let's see, who else is it? Catherine Zeta-Jones is Morticia Adams in there, and she's great as well. So anyway, it's a nice series and something that we picked up watching. And we finished the Ed Sullivan documentary on Netflix as well, about him bucking the trend and booking so many black artists despite all the blowback and the very real shift that it brought to American culture and American music. And it gets to the larger point I wanted to bring up here. Where's the great American variety show? And can it, will it ever come back? And the reason you could have a great American variety show back in the day was there were only three channels. Your choices were extremely limited. If you weren't watching Ed Sullivan, you were watching Bonanza or Gunsmoke. And that's about it. And variety shows, of course, were all over the place. It seemed like everybody had a variety show. But it was that one gathering place where you did not know what you were going to see next. You knew you were going to see music, but you didn't know what type. And that there would be comedy, but there might also be dance, and there might be all kinds of other things. And, you know, Sherry mentioned America's Got Talent would be a good example, kind of the variety of things. You don't know what you're going to see on stage next. But it's not exactly the same because the variety show also has, like, big-name stars that come on, you know, occasionally.
Yeah.
And we just haven't had anything like that. I don't know that we've really had it in your lifetime.
I was going to say, I can't really think of one.
And I know people say, well, that's what the late night shows were for. And yes, for a time, I guess you could say the late night shows were that. But they really just became more, I don't know, canned. You know, the person comes in and they plug their movie. And, you know,
Watch Jimmy Fallon play this game.
Yes, yes. And again, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not... it's not the variety show. And again, now with 500 channels to watch, well, more than 500 channels to watch now, you know, there isn't that one place where everybody comes together and you're not sure what you're going to see. Right now, when everybody comes together, they know what they're going to see, the Super Bowl. And they're going to see Super Bowl commercials and maybe a couple of other big things like that. But we don't come together for a shared culture and get exposed to new things. We seek out the things that we like, and there's very little that exposes us to new things. And that's something that I feel like it's missing on TV, but I don't know who would take that up. What network, what sponsors, you know, would take that up, knowing that, you know, it might not work, and variety shows, they don't come cheap.
That's the thing. It's probably too much of a risk now with how much production goes into stuff. Like, to make a good variety show now would take so much money that I don't think that would be worth risking if you have something that works, because people like predictability too. So, like you were saying, they want to watch what they already know.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If I put on Ridiculousness on MTV, I know I'm going to see funny videos of people making idiots of themselves, you know, but it would just be nice to see somebody try it again, you know, whether it works or not, I don't know, but that was kind of my thought watching this whole Ed Sullivan thing. And again, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just a relic who remembers what that particular genre was like.
I don't know.
Hey, things come back all the time. Okay. After I was just joking about Bonanza and Gunsmoke. Well, the Western did kind of come back in a couple of different movies, and then there were twists on it, like, you know, Westworld on HBO and things like that. So, I mean, everything has its turn. It goes away for a while and then it comes back. And, you know, maybe that's the case here for the Great American Variety Show. Yeah. I actually see Selena Heller has jumped on early here, so let me pop her up for a second, because in the area of variety shows, Ms. Heller, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good. How are you?
Good. Somebody was in Wisconsin Dells recently and seeing about the closest thing that you have to a variety show, and that's some of these live shows that you see in places like the Dells. What brought you to the Dells recently?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we just came back from the Dells last night. So okay. I like to go to the Dells every year and go to all of the stuff and all of the things that are the Dells.
The stuff. Okay.
All the stuff, the water parks, the shows, everything.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about one of the shows, and we'll play the clip in a little while here, but what was the show that you were seeing?
Oh gosh, the Legacy Dinner Theater. So the Dells has a couple of theaters, but one of them has like different concerts throughout the year, and it also has like just a theater portion of it, and it is called right now the Sneaky Pete Wild West Dinner Show.
The Sneaky Pete Wild West Dinner Show. Just a side question here. How angry is Whiskers at you that you abandon him to go to the Dells, because he's flicked his tail in your face like a half a dozen times here already?
He is very he wants to be by me right now a lot, because we were gone camping the first part of the week, and then the Dells the second part of the week, so we were gone the whole week.
As you get a tail in the face again, which apparently is how you show love when you're a cat. Yes. Right.
He's very cuddly right now.
Cuddly. Yes, that's the way that I would call it. So the Dells, that is an annual trek for you.
Yes. And even growing up, my mom would always let me bring a friend, and then the three of us, so me and my mom and a friend, would always go to the Dells every summer. We loved just going to all of the cool things in the Dells, and I kind of wanted to do that with Emery too. So we did a little Dells adventure. We call it our Dells Epic Adventure.
Dells Epic Adventure. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
So that's what we try to do every summer.
Okay. So we did talk about last week. There's an article on our website. It was all about things to do in Wisconsin Dells that have nothing to do with water parks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, see, you should check our website, upnorthnewswi.com.
I didn't see that. I missed it.
Yes. And so I guess that was going to be my next question to you, is does your Dells Epic Adventure Does it always include water parks, never include water parks?
Usually always. We try, well, sometimes we go in the winter too. So then you got to do, you can do an indoor water park because the Dells has so many things to do, just not just seasonal now too. So, but yes, in the summer, it always usually includes a water park. So we usually, there's, you know, Noah's Ark, we do that. We've done, Mount Olympus is there too. And there's so many things. But yeah, usually water park and then all the, like, gosh, there's so many. Deer Park, we did the Wisconsin Deer Park. So we walked around and saw all the deer. Emery's favorite thing is Wizard Quest. It's kind of like a, it's very fun. It's kind of like escape room and trivia or not.
And that's a Great Wolf, right?
Wizard Quest is downtown.
Oh, it's downtown now. Oh, okay. I see.
Yes.
So we'll get into more of this about Wisconsin Dells with Selena. She's got some audio to play for us as well coming up in just a bit. But first, we're going to have today's history lesson and a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletters, again, at the website, upnorthnewswi.com. So again, today's history lesson, more with Selena Heller, and several more guests before we finish up our 2+ hours here on these Monday mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, that, of course, would be Nile Rodgers and the rest of Chic with Good Times, the number one song this week in 1979, proving that disco isn't dead yet. It didn't have much longer to go, but it was still very much a disco era there this week. Oh, my goodness, now 46 years ago. Actor Robert Redford is 89 years old today. The late Patrick Swayze was born this day in 1952. Actor Dennis Leary is 68 today. Actor Ed Norton is 56. Christian Slater, also 56, born on the same day. And Andy Samberg is 47. Andy Samberg is one of those people you got to hate because he's funny, but because you look at him and says he's 47, he's never going to look 47. He's never going to look his age. He's got Selena Heller syndrome that they're always going to look way younger than they are. And people hate them for it, but Selena, you've gotten used to it over the years.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I know. Let's see, the late Rosalind Carter, former first lady, was born this day in 1927. She passed away in November of 2023 at the age of 96. And Caitlin Olson is 50. Now, is she Mary Kate and Ashley Olson's sister, right? And I don't remember if she's older or younger than the Olson twins.
Here's the thing.
It's not whether she's older or younger. It's that she's normal. She's the normal one of the Olsen sisters. Let's see. And then on this day in 1920, the 19th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, guaranteeing women the right to vote. Here's how it was celebrated all those Saturday mornings on Schoolhouse Rock back in the day. Until suffering. Not a woman who can vote, no matter what age. And the 19th Amendment struck down that restrictive rule. Oh, yeah. Selena, of course, you know all the words to that and everything else that was in Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah, it is actually kind of frightening how many lyrics to Schoolhouse Rock songs I still know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of TV back then. Let's see. On this day in 1969, it was a Monday morning as well. And it was about 9 a.m. when the Woodstock Music Festival finally wrapped up after an all-night session with rain delays and a packed lineup. So the headliner, who was supposed to wrap things up many hours earlier, finally took the stage at about 9 a.m. on Monday. It was Jimi Hendrix, who closed it all out with a set that included this scorching rendition of the national anthem. and thus ended Woodstock.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go up 4 years to 1973. The number one country song was by Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. Louisiana woman, we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart. Too much love in Louisiana heart. And on this day in 2017, Taylor Swift, 8 years ago today, caused a little buzz in something that has now become just standard practice for her, but it was still relatively new in 2017 when suddenly she wiped clean all of her social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, her personal YouTube. It was just all, there was nothing left on her feed. And then 3 days later, she began posting a video of a snake to tease her next song. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. So after all of the hype from last week, or the last 2 weeks rather, about Taylor Swift putting out her new album, I mean, on the one hand, it's the thing that she's been doing for years, and yet it still worked last week, right, Selena? I mean, there was all kinds of buzz about the Life of a Showgirl album.
Oh my gosh, so much buzz. And of course, in this household, we have a little tiny Swiftie, so.
A tiny Swiftie.
And your daughter is too. I know, you're both such fans.
We even went to some, like a sing-along or whatever, and her friend knew all, I mean, eight years old. Her friend, we don't, not that much, only, you know, a few songs, but her little friend knew every single word, every single song, and I was like, you're eight, oh my goodness.
See, that was me with Schoolhouse Rock, and there's still
that's plenty, a less cool thing to be.
There's still plenty of 70s lyrics that I cannot control alt delete out of here, no matter how much I might want to. You're just your brain is a little sponge, you know, at that age. Stuff that it just soaks up, especially when you listen to something, you know, 8,000 times. You're gonna pick it up that way.
Oh gosh.
Today is a National Bad Poetry Day. I do not have any great examples of bad poetry to share with you. Just basically take all. Remember refrigerator magnet poetry? Is that still? Do people still have those little words? You know, the individual words.
Oh, yeah. No. I forgot about those.
So if you want to make your own bad poetry, find somebody that still has those fridge magnets and do that. It's National Fajita Day. Always delicious. It's National Ice Cream Pie Day, which leads to the question, is ice cream pie a pie? Or is it just, you know, ice cream served with...
Yeah. It's another excuse to have ice cream. And that's okay.
It's another excuse to have... Yeah, yeah. And then it's also Mail Order Catalog Day, which I know people would say, well, in the day and age of the internet, you know, who uses mail order catalogs? Well, apparently we all must, because my mailbox, as we get closer to Christmas, it is going to get stuffed.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys are too, from all kinds of things they want you to buy.
Do you order from them?
I do. And so you only have to order once, and then it just keeps coming and coming and coming. Absolutely. In our next hour, we will be talking about how to change things so that people, not just politicians, can put constitutional amendments up on the ballot. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look what you just made me do.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.